Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, call in if you'd like to chime in. Now you understand the real spirit behind the slave game, how they've now attached slavery with homosexuality. And guess what? It's been decades in the making. They've been trying to do this for years. I remember growing up, working at Houlihan's and amongst the white liberal college goers, the white people that were there, liberals. Guess what? They were hinged off the hinges, out of their mind liberal. And I remember white gay lesbians, white gay men and gay lesbians saying, well, listen, your people suffered, but we've suffered too. Speaking of them being gay. You understand? And believe it or not, and that was a time when you can actually discuss a few things and not have to worry about getting fired if they brought it up. You can discuss that. And I was like, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but guess what? I can't hide the skin I'm in. Okay, you can choose to not act gay or be gay amongst other people, and you'll come off like any other white straight man or any other white straight woman. I'm not able to hide that. So that in of itself, I used to tell them, you can't disrespect me with this conversation comparing your sexual choices to what my forefathers went through. It's an insult because I can't hide the skin I'm in. If you choose not to have sex ever a day in your life, you're still a white man. Regardless of it, so you choose to do something. You choose to do something that leads to you being bullied and all that based on your actions. We as a people, guess what? We don't have that luxury. So I say, no. So decades ago, they were prepping the ground for this. To have us look at homosexuality as something, as a civil rights issue. Only so that they can be in position to take what our people died for here in America. Oh, we have Andre. Shalom. Shalom, sir.
Hey, Shalom.
757. Here we go. Good to be back. I'm blessed by the best. How you doing, Andre?
Yes, sir. It's a blessing to be back, man. Blessed by the best. And his name is Ahaya. And
oh, right.
Man, listen, Elder, I'm going to tell you, you always cut straight through, Elder. I mean, you're into music like I am. You know how engineering goes. It's like you're a good engineer. You cut through the mix. And it's crazy. It's crazy because I feel like our people, we have two options. And there's always a Trojan horse factor. And we always fall for the Trojan horse, Elder. Like, Satan doesn't have any new tricks. And we always fall for the Trojan horse. You look at any movement, there's a Trojan horse. And within this Juneteenth situation, that Trojan horse, Juneteenth is the Trojan horse. But what they're really trying to usher in is this LGBTQ stuff, like you're pointing out. And it's so interesting because that curse in Isaiah 59, if you don't mind, I just want to read two verses of it. It's like our people, Elder, we have
great.
Two options.
Take your time.
Our first option is...
Take your time.
Our first option is... I'm sorry, what you say, Elder?
I said take your time. It's been 2 weeks. I'm glad to hear you. Let's go.
Yes, sir. You know, I like to be timely. Bless you, Elder. Our first option is 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, right, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear them, and of course I'll heal their land. That's option one. It's so simple. But that requires submission. That requires obedience, which is better than sacrifice. That requires no vanity. It requires us to remove flesh and to increase spirit. But then the second option is Isaiah 59, where it says, therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth judgment overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. Look at this movement, Elder. As our people, we wait for some sort of revolution, but we behold this satanic obscurity foolishness. It says we look for brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's exactly what we do in this movement. We want brightness with this so-called Juneteenth holiday, but we walk hand-in-hand with this pride foolishness that's walking in darkness. Verse 10, where it says, we grope for the wall like the blind. Don't even know where we're going. It says, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate. We are in desolate places as dead men. And I look at that, Elder, because it's interesting how that parallel is always there with our people. We beg for freedom. We beg for liberty. We beg for so-called all this foolishness. We accept inclusion. It's like, okay, I'm begging for freedom. I'm begging for true liberation. I'm begging for knowledge and education and wisdom, but they're going to give me inclusion. They're going to make me feel good. I'm going to accept that. It's like we stumble in the noonday as if it's nighttime. And what I don't really understand about it, Elder, is how, like you said, it can be right in our faces. Like if we're truly Christian, if that Jewish lady you pointed out, if we truly are Bible believers, why not relate that to everything we do in life? You see, Christians, they always talking about the Bible on national television. Until slavery comes up, now the Bible is nowhere to be found. And it's like there's always a Trojan horse factor. So I'll yield with that because I can go all day. But it's just that Isaiah 59 is right there. It's so clear.
Well, thank you, brother. I want to say this because you really stimulated a few things in my mind while you were speaking. I think lawyers are coming up with this verbiage to deceive our people, this legalese like inclusion. Because what people want out there of any, what people of all people seek to be included or accepted,
exactly,
if not us? So they use words like inclusion because we've been seeking some equitable treatment and equality since coming off the slave ships. So when you use inclusion, that's how you know it's legalese. Our people seek to be included, seek validation. But the question is, what are we being included in? When you say inclusion,
exactly,
who's in this circle? And is it anything that we should be included with? No one even asked the question. It's like, no, we don't need inclusion. Okay, because there was no inclusion on the slave ship. And I'm going to pull it up real quick. Hold on, let me look at it. I want y'all to see the slave ship.
Yes, sir.
Where's the inclusion at? Where is the inclusion with the shackles?
Exactly.
How can you just come through after a country we built and seek inclusion with us? And why should we need inclusion with you? What are you including? What are you doing? So I'm looking at this, brother. Our people. Look at the mother getting separated from the child. All of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems they want to be included, brother, the other nations, where the benefits are. Without going through the suffering. So
exactly,
that's the legalese of this, my brother. That's the legalese of this. That they're using words that they know that we'll agree with, but our people really don't understand what inclusion is. Inclusion
Thank
with
you.
What? Inclusion
Thank
with
you,
who?
Elder. And that's my point, Elder. When I'm having these conversations at work, it's so crazy, Elder. You, like I said, you cut through. When I'm having these conversations at work and they're always talking about inclusion and equality, and I tell people that equality doesn't exist according to the scriptures. What does the scripture say about that? It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? You want Juneteenth, but Juneteenth comes with pride. You don't need either one. Receive Christ. That's what you need.
Yeah.
I'm off the soapbox, Elder. But it's right there. It's right there.
It's right there. So at the end of it, I want to read this real quick on top of that, which says at the very end, and this is why our people need to understand that inclusion, according to world politics, is a cancer for our people. It's a cancer for the world because they're forcing us to be included in morality. Let me read this real quick, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 32:5 reads, the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful.
Mm-mm-mm.
So when it says the vile person shall be no more called liberal, it's letting us know that liberal or being liberal is vile according to God, because these are people without barriers, without boundaries. One shouldn't be free or liberal or free to destroy themselves, to destroy their souls. So what we call freedom and liberal is evil, according to God. And I don't know how that they were able to trick our people into becoming liberals. When we were the most conservative people coming off of slave ships, we were about family and we was about morality. It was them turning us out, buck breaking and doing all these things once we came in. But we came from what? We came from villages in Africa who believed in God and were family oriented. We came off of the ships conservative. Liberal is evil. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Bless you, Elder, as always, man.
Bless you. All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. I can take a few more calls, if you will. 515-605-9327. If anyone has any questions, even on the outside of this topic, we'll give you about 5 to 10 minutes. You can call in. Talk with us, speak with us while the opportunity's here. It's been 2 weeks, so if you have any questions or any questions that, 1 second here, that didn't get an opportunity to ask, you know, for the next couple of weeks, now is your opportunity. Now the opportunity's here. 515-605-9327. Thank you, Andre. The Bible says we shall no longer be called, the vile person shall no more be called liberal. Liberal is evil. That means when they teach being liberated, liberated from who? From what? Ultimately is being liberated from God. Okay? Being liberated from accountability.
Hey, Elder. My name is Andre Sheely. How you doing?
How you feeling, Andre? Bless you.
All right.
Doing well. Thanks for asking.
You guys have a church here in Louisiana?
Yes, we do.
I think you had one in Lake Charles?
Yes, we do. I was born in Lake Charles. Yeah, we have one there.
Well, I'm here in Leesville right now.
Okay. Well, this is what I can do. I can take down your name. Your name again?
Andre Sheely.
Andre, Louisiana, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, I'll have the elder reach out to you to connect you with the congregation there, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you have any other talking points or questions? But go ahead.
Well,
what's yours?
I don't like the fact that they're trying to get these homosexuals in the schools, you know, trying to groom the little kids. I mean, they took the Bible out. And then now they want to put that, you know, this type of homosexual stuff in the classroom. And also I heard in Virginia they have an after-school Satan class for little toddlers. They had them all, you know, sitting around a pentagram, dressed in their druid robes and everything like that. I said, oh, my goodness, this is crazy.
It's so,
you know.
So. So glad to hear that. And let me tell you, I believe that school should be school. Okay, ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. I don't believe sex at all should be taught in the school.
No, period.
Period. What we need to do is allow the parents to parent from home when it comes to family values and the direction for their family. And sex should be left out altogether. So it started with us. It started. I'm gonna tell you where the Trojan horse came in, since Andre wanted to use that. That's a great word. The Trojan horse came in when they started teaching sex education in the school.
Yeah.
Right. And they claim it was because a lot of teenagers and others are experiencing the interactions of intimacy at younger ages, and it's to teach safe sex. But anything that you teach in school become a teaching moment for children who weren't thinking about it. So if you're talking about it to a child who wasn't even thinking about doing it at first, what do you think they're thinking about now? And soon as they did sex education, what happened? What happened was sexually transmitted diseases started going through the roof. More children started dealing because it was being taught sex education. So by doing that, that was the Trojan horse. Because now if you can teach sex, then now, eventually, you can teach same sex. So I would say just take that out of schools altogether. Let the birds and the bees go back to family like it used to be, where the father and mother speaks of the, we used to call it the birds and the bees.
This
is how,
my kids about
how it works.
You know.
Yeah. Let the parents do that.
You know. And see, also the parents need to take initiative too, because, you know, I got teenagers. I got a son and a daughter. And the first thing I went up to, you know, to the school, and I said, hey, I said, I want you teaching my kids this crap or that crap, you know, or even with the COVID injection. I don't play that, you know. I said, I'm not getting it, and they ain't getting it. And I said, anybody got a problem with it, I can just bring my kids home and I can homeschool them. We can do it like that. But it's, you know, they got the TV.
And how did they respond? What did they say when you said
that? Oh, they didn't have no problem with it, especially down here, because I questioned my kids every day. I said, they ain't have nobody coming in there trying to read you any stories and everything like that. You know, and this one preacher, he went to the school board council, not here though, but, and he started reading from one of those books. And they said, oh, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that. Oh, he said, oh, are you offended? He said, then why should our kids have that in the library? They take all the black history books and stuff like that out of the libraries, and they put that crap in for our kids to read. And it's bad enough. It's in the music. It's on the TV, the internet. It's just wide open. And then you got to, you know, constantly be on your toes monitoring what your kids watch and explain to them everything. Hey, God don't want you to be sexually active and everything like that. So you keep it in their pants. The main thing you need to focus on is your education and on God. And that's what I, teach my kids. Yeah.
Well, brother, what you're highlighting is the importance of a male presence.
Yes.
Because, you know, women are stronger. And guess what? You have a lot of women who stand up against this stuff, too. But they've done psychological studies on this. And the bottom line, women usually, outside of relationships, when it comes to authority or school or anything, are less confrontational. Even they have a study when it comes to the corporate world or women who work in the corporate setting. This is why there's a lot of women taking men jobs. Women are more hesitant.
Because they don't see them as a threat.
Yeah, women are more hesitant to ask for raises in comparison to men. It's just less, not that they don't want the money. They just, you know, first of all, they don't want the confrontation. So women are more agreeable when it comes to the corporate setting or an authoritative setting outside of the home. Now, it's different. It's different when they're dealing with men who's taking care of them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They can be confrontational there. You'll never see that confrontation at the job. They'll give that boss everything, and I'm speaking in general now, not all. They'll give that boss all the obedience and cooperation that they dare give their husband. But go on.
Yeah, because it's more easier for a woman to slide into the corporate world than a man, because you know some of those corporate owners see men as threats, especially black men. But okay, we'll take your female and hire her as a secretary, and just put her in this position, and you know, and pay her some money, and she'll probably be content with that. And then meanwhile, the old man's at home struggling. You know, sometimes females don't realize the things we go through. Because, you know, the first thing they say, how come you ain't got this job? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that?
They're not hiring black men. Let me tell you. Mm-mm. They're not hiring black men. They're not giving black men outward positions to overtake them. I'm talking about in number. Now, there are the exceptions to the rule.
I know that.
There's some people who will break through regardless, who have the fortitude to do so. But as a whole, they would rather give, if there's a position where they have to fill a minority position, they'd rather give it to a gay person, regardless of color, or a black woman. Because why? A black woman can be content, and it will be less confrontational concern and wanting more, opposed to a man in position. If a man gets in position and say, no, that seat you in, I'm trying to figure out how you got there. Okay, I'm not here content with just a few shekels you're throwing me. So that's the whole thing. Yep. And the whole thing is, listen, and it's not wrong. It's not wrong for sisters to want positions and have all these things and do all that, right? Because they have to take care of themselves too. So that's not wrong. Yep. But the political construct, I wish it was a time in which, regardless of how much we made and who had a position, we bring it all under the order of God, under the authority of God, with the positions the Most High set up, God, Christ, man, woman, children. Where it be less about the money and more so about us bringing it together. But go on.
But there's also...
There's a few more calls. I'm going to let you get one more point. I'll let you get one more point, then I get to the next call. But go ahead.
I noticed when that one shooter shot up on those folks in Buffalo, New York, you didn't hear a word from Black Lives Matter, not one word. They didn't say nothing. They was quiet the whole time. And during that shooting, there was a security guard there who was an engineer, and he had the ability. He had an engine that can run off water. And he was making little YouTube videos and everything like that, but it was just like how ironic he got shot and killed during that attack. But Black Lives Matter never said anything.
Boy, that's
but
a great
they said something when they said something when Dave Chappelle was making the comparisons to was that little baby shooting somebody in the Walmart, but he said if you say something against a gay, you know, you have the whole gay community coming after you. And then that's what, then Black Lives Matter started attacking Dave Chappelle. But
attack him. Yeah. It's about the political posturings, you know what I mean? Because, but thank you, brother. I really appreciate it. The political posturing they're doing. And usually, and what they'll do is, thank you, brother, and I'll make sure we give you that phone call. And what they normally... What they normally do is they go against anything that will stifle them politically, okay, when it comes to the mass perception of them. The same way you have the ADL and JDL who will do that when it comes to protecting the image of Jewish people. This is why they'll stay away from the small thing but attack anything that comes from Dave Chappelle, because they understand how wide his influence is. It's international. 214 area code, and this is why I may say something on my page that someone else, I can say something on YouTube page because we have 115,000 subscribers, and it should be more than that, but they unsubscribe people and others and aren't allowing it to go beyond 115, right? One thing about it is they'll strike me before they strike a person who's saying even worse that has 2,000 subscribers. They can say something even worse. They can talk about COVID, anything, and nothing will happen to their page, not even a strike. But because we got a notoriety where it's 100,000, not just from any type of teacher, but an Israelite and someone who believes in Christ with Christian values, with Christ's values. Now, they understand that 1,000, that 100,000 can be multiplied by 10, 15, 20 based on word of mouth. So I'll say something that another channel less than will say, and they'll just take the channel away. It's just the way it is. They are afraid of those who have influence on a mass scale, especially an international scale. 214 area code. Last call for this evening.
Hi, Elder.
Oh, no,
what a blessing
four,
to talk to you.
We have 404. I got 404. I'll bring you in, too. Yes, hello?
Okay. Hi, this is Dee from your sister Delise out here in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles body.
Hi.
With Deacon Tazadak. How are you?
I knew you was calling. I knew that was you. I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm great. Well, you know what? I do have to say real quick before I go back on topic, it is a shame what they're doing to the YouTube channel. It just shows how they're suppressing this truth. And, you know, for you not to have worked and built this channel so along with the other elders to build this channel and it get over 100,000, subscribers and the millions of views that you all get and then not to get any acknowledgement, your plaque and the credit for that, it's a shame.
Yeah. I'm thinking about suing them, but we have greater battles going on,
building the studio and enhancing the Hebrew and Bible Academy, and I wasn't able to attend this one, and it's just my Sundays aren't the same if I don't have the Hebrew and Bible Academy, so I'm definitely going to attend this one, especially I've always inquired about the tribe of Dan, so I really want to get that lesson and don't want to miss this Hebrew and Bible Academy. Okay.
Well, thank you, sister. I really appreciate your support.
But back on topic, I just wanted to share my Disneyland experience yesterday. So I've been planning to take my grandson to Disneyland for the summer, and I had no idea that the event, they're closing the park after 8 o'clock. You know, they kind of put that on the ticket. We're going to close the park for a special event. Well, I will always call and double check. I really didn't pay attention to this is Pride Month, and I guess that was Pride Night. And I had, you know, my son and I had to have the gay conversation with my 8-year-old grandson for the second time. And it's really disheartening that you have to, you know, talk to a child in the times that we're living in now about such a topic.
Yeah.
When, you know, and when I tell you that it was like Gotham City, it was a mess. It was like the rainbow Gotham City. There were obese, old, bearded, just black, white, in between, hair, shaved, you know, effeminate, trans. It was you to spend $144 a person and to get there, and that's what we have to endure. I really am shocked to this day. I have to pray, to the Most High to wash my eye gates of what I had to see yesterday, because I'm not, you know, I don't go to West Hollywood. I don't really go out and see that, you know, that many rainbow people in one particular setting. It was overwhelming. They shoved it down our throat so bad. And we had to have a conversation with a third grader again about this topic. And it's just a shame. And I just want to, I don't know what to do, Elder. I really don't know if I should call Disneyland, but it seems like this is so out of control. And it's you know, I even saw people wearing rainbow Under Armour shoes. I didn't know that Under Armour had rainbow shoes. And so many brands and Disneyland, everybody that's on board with this agenda, from our politicians down to the corporate companies, it's just being shoved down our throat. And I just despise it, really. It really is just getting so out of hand. I felt like I was in Sodom and Gomorrah yesterday, and I really see. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Elder. I really just called you to vent about that.
Oh, no, I'm listening to you. I know there's a little delay between you and I, but it's like this, right? We all know California, Bohemian Grove and all of that, all of the weird cults and sex satanic cults come out of California. All the laws that we see that are liberally destroying the world through the agenda first started with California passing the legislation, only for other states to pick it up later. Now, when you say the only recourse you have, well, the only recourse we can do at this point is we have to fight with our dollars. The same way now Bud Light is about, they darn near going out of business because now they have offended their customer base by putting a transsexual young man as a woman on a can, right? So the whole deal is they're about to go out of business. Anheuser-Busch is still scrambling because why? The white conservatives aren't having it. If you're going to offend your customer base, they're going to let you know immediately by protesting with their dollars. So the best way to protest, the same way that happened when they put that gay guy on a can, let me tell you, they showed you how to do it. Don't support anything that's Disney. Just outright.
That's right.
Don't support Disney. Do not
I don't
put
know
your
if
money
I'll
there.
Ever
don't
go
there.
Again.
Listen,
yeah.
If I was you, I wouldn't. That's the only way because there's not enough gay people in America to support any of these companies if these companies had to solely depend on the finances coming through gays. Okay? You're talking about less than 2% of the population. Less than 2% of the population. So the only thing they'll understand is the dollars. But like Anheuser-Busch, they're scrambling right now because why? They thought that they would actually be over the dark side of them chancing and by alienating their core base, which are white conservatives, white people in general. They love Bud Light. Bud Light was the number one selling beer in America. And at a time now in the summertime was the height of their margin, their profits. And now stores, vendors, and others are telling them, threatening to take Bud Light off of their shelves because they're not selling. They're losing shelf space because of this. So, hey, let's follow their motto. If they want to deal with gay people and let that be that public pride thing, then guess what? Have just gay people support your products going forward. Now, what you didn't know, sister, probably because you wasn't in our academy, Chapat did a piece on announcing why corporations are actually dealing with this gay thing, even if it means losing profits. There's a thing called an equitable credit score for these corporations, in which they must show inclusiveness within their advertisement and marketing in order for them to actually survive as a corporation. If they don't show enough inclusion, which is gay people, they get a low credit score and get blackballed from doing business with banks and others to sustain their companies going forward. This is why a lot of companies who weren't a part of it are being forced into it financially.
Wow. That explains it all. That explains it all.
Yeah.
And
well,
my head is covered, but I got one scripture I wanted to share.
Go ahead.
But I don't know if you want to pull it up. But it's Proverbs 16:5. And it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
Sister, that's right on.
Okay.
It's time for us to, it's not to join hands. It's time to separate. It's been time.
Amen.
And guess what? I believe you got that aha moment to understand that the world isn't the same world we grew up in. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Love you, Elder.
Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Same to you, sister. You know, I love y'all too. Hold tight. Let's go. Okay. The calls has ended. 404 area code. I'll just take all the calls in queue, and then I wish you all a great Sabbath. 404 area code. Shalom. 404. Your hands up. Yes? All right. Let me get out of that one then. What's that? 730 area code. 731, excuse me. 731 area code.
How you doing, Heather? Shalom.
Shalom, sir. How are you?
Man, I love you so much, man. Every time I hear you, I get excited. I'm a truck driver. But, man, I came in that last minute. I was trying to get through traffic. Traffic kind of backed up, and I was listening. I had came in the last minute to your broadcast. And, man, everything you're saying is so true. I'm thinking about the scripture. Also say, my people perish for the lack of knowledge and not knowing how we've been. I don't care what political party that they try to use, Republicans, Democrats, all of them. And it's like it hurts. You know, just listen to what you're saying. It's powerful. It's like you're moving by the anointing. You can tell that God has anointed you for this test. It's taking anointing from God for you to even have this kind of information. And to see how blind our people are, man, how they use every little tactic to blame us for everything. Like even with the welfare everything with the welfare, even the agency. Every time something happens in this country, they put our people in that box and say it's us, so they can have somebody to point at and blame, man. And it's the same game they've been using for years. And it hurt that our people can't see what's going on. Can't see how we've been tricked and been used against, and we've been pointed against and been looked at as some type of garbage. And then everything, that every little bad agenda that they use us to try to push it, so they can say, oh, it's them, it's they the one did this, it's they the one, it's the black people. And it's just sad, man. And, you know, it make you want to cry. You know, when I was listening to you, I said, man, I got to get home. I'm on the way home so I can just pray. I want to get in a place of prayer. I started asking him what can I do to help to not only help the broadcast. I'm gonna make it my business to send some finances soon as possible. But it just hurt me to see the stuff that's going on, how blind our people are. Then you got all these churches on every corner, and you don't hear leaders preaching at this level because they blind themselves. You know, they preaching every Sunday. I go to church myself. But it hurt, man. It's a deep hurt in my heart to see how we've been played against. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, if God don't save us, man, we're not going to be saved. These people, they're trying to do everything they can to kill us, and they use every little tactic they can, and it's just all game. So, you know, like I said, I appreciate you, man. I love you. I'm praying for you that God, you be successful. And that he protect you with his blood and cover you with his blood from all principalities and evil power that's against truth. Because, you know, God gave us power too and created for a service. And whatever the enemy tried to do, we have power over it. So you have a blessing, Shalom.
Shalom, and thank you for your prayers and your best wishes, brother. Same to you. And you be careful on that road, okay?
Yes, sir.
My brother, Shalom. All right, I'm going to try 404 once more.
Hey, Elder, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. How are you?
Oh, good, good. This is Brother Malcolm from the Atlanta Body under the leadership of Bishop Baruch and Deacon Abigail. I had put my phone on mute, but I don't realize how I did it, but that's how I missed
it. It's okay. Floor's yours. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, no problem at all. I had two quick comments and a personal question at the end, if you don't mind, that's not related to the topic. I don't know if you noticed in the CNN commentary, but that was, I call him Don Sweet Lemon, that was doing the commentary for the CNN documentary that you showed, Don Lemon. And you know how they use him to push that agenda.
Yeah, big time.
And the second comment I want to mention is, you know, the civil rights movement, the NAACP, and the Black Lives Matter movement, all the movements that have our face to it is not owned or ran by us. And
ran by Jewish people, actually.
And it's amazing how we fall for the trickery that they, you know, that they push on us, making us the face of things, but we're not behind it at all.
Let me stay on that before you segue over. The reason that, because they know our people, they know there's a certain segment within our community who strives for some level of validation or pat on the head by them. There's going to always be some people amongst our community that they can pay to be the face for our destruction. And that's unfortunate. Because, wow, we live in a capitalistic society. And what these paymasters understand to some degree is that they can always buy someone in our community for a price. And that's just the way it is. It's just upon us now to say, listen, they can put anybody they want in front of us. We understand who's behind the veil, the Wizard of Oz. And we're not going for it. Even if it's a black face, we know who's behind it. Right? So, I just want to say that there'll always be some people amongst our own people who can be bought, like a Roland Martin.
Right.
But go on.
Yes, sir. My last question to you is a personal question that I've been kind of battling with. I call you occasionally when I have some family issues. Do I recall correctly? I think you said that you had a son who played football for Temple University.
That is correct.
My question is because I have a nephew. He's in the 10th grade. He's getting.
Yeah.
Football offers from right now historically black colleges, but probably his
junior
senior year he'll be getting some from, you know, the major schools. I want to know how did you handle Friday night football and playing on Saturdays? Him playing football on Saturdays because
I understand what the Old Testament and others say and understand the importance of Sabbath, but I also understand grace. I wasn't going to take that opportunity from my son who understands Sabbath. So what he did was he didn't go out and deal with the parties and all that other thing. He dealt what he had to deal with in school. He would pray in between. He would go to his locker and pray, knowing it was a Sabbath. And he didn't deal with any level of sin, or not sinful public behavior at all. He would do a business and he would go home. Okay? So he dealt with the Sabbath according to what? The grace that was given him without violating that liberty. You understand? I wasn't going to, and that was a tough discussion between him and I. And I said, son, you've worked your whole life through it. I'll pray the days you don't do it, we will. You know, you can come to Sabbath, but always have Christ with you and in you during those Sabbaths. Okay, and once you're done, don't be out there until the sun go down. Don't be out there doing anything from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. You're not out there doing anything as the world. And he said, okay. And he got through it. And guess what? He works with me till this day. He had a full scholarship, and it benefited him, and it benefits this church till this day. So his liberty and grace was used to help finish what I'm doing. So it's okay to exercise liberty or grace as long as you don't take advantage of it.
Yes, all sir. Right? And that's the, you know, as far as me going to see him play, that's been, you know, one of the things I've been battling with.
Well, I understand, but for conscience sake, right? Because here's the example I can give. Here's the example I can give you for conscience sake. Paul had a scenario where, as a Pharisee, he knew that he would be evil spoken about if they seen him shopping in the shambles or going into the temples where the pagans would shop or worship, right? So he knew that he would be looked upon a certain type of way. So he was conscious of it. So what he did was he said, the Most High gives us liberty. The people don't know what I'm going in there for, right? So I have to be conscious of that and make sure that my liberty isn't used as a stumbling block to others. So liberty and grace is an individual choice, but you have to understand how to walk in that liberty and grace, not to offend others. And that's for conscience sake, because if someone is destroyed based on your liberty, now that blood of the person is on you. So for conscience sake, which means you have to have the conscience to know, okay, if I was to go see my son and still be able to support him, how is it that that wouldn't be a stumbling block to someone else? And how could I do it once in a while without it becoming a stumbling block? I'm conscious of what I'm doing and of the day I'm doing it. Now, how can I do this and not become a stumbling block? And that's an individual. When it comes to liberty and grace, it isn't as cut and dry and clear as Old Testament law. It's an individual. Like for instance, here's a dichotomy. I had to use my liberty not to go in and say, oh, is that Elder Ricardo there? So I had to do it in a way it was inconspicuous and still support my son. Why? If my son has an axe to grind that I never supported him at all, and he now no longer deal with me, right?
Right.
Then what grace do I have for my son that I've lost my son?
Come on.
So by me showing grace and supporting him and still being conscious not to let that be a stumbling block to others, now that he's graduated, he's able, that bond was developed because he knew that I was using grace to support him. So he must support this work and everything we're doing. And through that grace, our relationship became tighter, and he's doing work to help Christ's work on a whole nother level, well beyond his football days. So there is a responsibility we have on that side to support those we love. And that's where grace and liberty comes in, but not to use it as a point of abusing it that will actually be a stumbling block to others. So an individual, you have to walk and understand where that line is. I can't tell you where that line is. You must understand according to the conscience how to support either side. You got it?
Understood. I appreciate it. You answered my question very clearly, very plainly. And I appreciate you, Elder. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you, brother. All right. Shalom. Seven-3-1 area code. Did I already have 731 on? 731. think so. I'm going to 443. 443.
Shalom, Calvin.
Shalom.
This is. I'm good. This is Danita from DMV.
How are you doing, Danita?
Hey, I just wanted to say this. It was a profound topic, and it was so much that's happening. And, you know, I was in this academy, was a great academy. You're welcome. It was a real eye-opener to how much this agenda is being pushed on, not just our people, but the world. And how many people is learning to just accept everything as it is. And not even Christians, I'm seeing, not even drawing the line. They just saying that's the way it is. And I feel like if we love the Lord, like we say, and we love a higher, that, you know, the things that they're teaching our children and the things that we're seeing, it should be like, you know, I don't know the word for it, but it should be like sickening to our stomach to be able to accept these things. And like the one sister called in about Disney World, I was a Disney growing up. Like everybody else, I watched a lot of Disney and stuff like that. And, you know, my husband did, he did like the story with Abram and his father, Terah. My husband actually burned everything that was an idol in our home. And he said he's just not going to give the devil place in our house. And we still have, you know, things that we just been burning. So I tell anybody, if it's against God and it's against everything that he, you know, doesn't want us to watch or see, or we shouldn't entertain that. We shouldn't be like, oh, well, this is just the way it is and accept it. We gotta separate. And as far as our children, we have to teach our children to walk in this truth and honor this truth and, you know, love God. Because, you know, everything that's liberal is not what God had for us. It's not the way of the world. And I'm grateful that my mom kept us in the Bible growing up. I'm grateful for that. Even though she might have not knew everything that we know now, and she's learning again, all praises. And she recently got baptized in the church, so I'm always
praise
filled with that. And she said she always knew that something was off in the Christian church. She always felt like that. And I me too. So, we had to be separate.
Too.
We had to be separate.
Yeah.
So I yield with that.
Well, thank you, sister. Thank you for all your support. And we're going to have a lot of things coming down the pipeline when it comes to knowledge and understanding and newfound discoveries. That we want to introduce to brothers and sisters throughout this earth. So keep it coming. Keep your support with Patreon Academy, and you have a great Sabbath, and I hope to see you soon enough when I get in that area, when I come to the area, all right?
All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you all. That concludes our Patreon Academy.